Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Trophy Room After Show, a show just for y'all patrons at patreon.com/PSTrophyRoom. And what a great show that was. At least I assume so, because my headache was so bad last night that immediately after recording with Logan, I was just like, I need to edit this. I don't know if it's, you know, the edit's going to be great, but I really need to lay down ASAP because my headache was getting to me, especially towards the end there. But I made it, I survived, and I said to myself after recording, you know, Logan was up to do another after show, but I was just like, I can't promise you that, man. I'm sorry, I took already too much of your time, but, you know, I'll do this in the morning. That's what I pretty much did. I woke up today, had some breakfast, made sure my brain fog was gone, and for the most part, I'm still a little dazed, but no longer confused, which it was just such a weird migraine that I was able to record shows, have a dazedness to them, but it wasn't like a weird, like, you know, when you have a sinus headache, it's like all in your eyes and it's just, it's like a painful weight. This one was just like a fogginess. It wasn't even pain. It just felt, again, I think dazed is the best way to think about it, where I have dazed, like fog in the back of my head rolling to the front of my eyes and then back to my head. It was a lot. And it's all because of how I use PlayStation VR. I do think they got to find out how to help you find collectibles in games in VR so that you don't have to take the headset off. Because what I was doing was I was watching PS5 trophies, right? Brandon over there. I believe it's Brandon. Anyway, I was watching him complete levels in Horizon Forbidden West to go finish up my collectibles run, and I kept on just putting on and off the helmet. So it was just me entering reality and the virtual reality, entering back into reality, back into virtual, that caused my brain to go, Joe, what in the hell are you doing? You need rest. That's all I know. And so I think one of the biggest lessons learned was, I think when I do recordings or days where I do recordings, maybe just play it safe. Let's not play VR. And then the days I don't have to record, go ahead and go finish the plat in Horizon Forbidden West. Now, you might be saying to yourself, Joe, did you learn your lesson? No, because I'm going to still do that today because I got to plat this game before I start the new job. So I got to do it. I got to get it. To me, I have weird goals when it comes to platinums. I would like to have 65 to 70 platinums at the end of this year. I started at, I believe, 51 or 52. I'm at 54 right now, so I'm lagging behind. I need to catch up fast. That being said, though, Kyle isn't here. Logan isn't here because I'm recording in the morning. Kyle, I just saw a tweet from him saying that he's starting to feel better, which, thank goodness, because, you know, we'll talk about our good friend Sean Capri. I didn't want him to go on a show that he wasn't at his 100%, because I know Kyle will push himself, just like I will push myself. Look, I did a show of Memory Fog, but like, to me, I know Kyle will push himself even when he's at his limit. And so, you know, we were having a talk, you know, a few days ago where we were just like, we need to do better at giving ourselves breaks, right? We need to learn when to say, you know what, maybe every fiscal quarter, one of us just takes a break. One of us just takes like a week off and they don't have to worry about anything podcast related wise. And even if we're feeling tip top shape, I think it's really important that we think about our mental health and go, you know what, the podcast isn't going to break apart because one of us isn't here, right? So that's what I kind of learned when I learned about Sean Capri having to take his break. Of course, huge friend of the show, you know, the founder of Carpool Gaming. And again, huge friend of the show, huge friend of mine. And, you know, he decided to take a bit of a break, take a bit of a hiatus, I think is a better term, of just reevaluating things. And I totally get it. Listen, you're a dad. You got two beautiful kids. Well, one. You know, Link's taken a lot after his father, unfortunately. So you got one beautiful kid. No, you got two beautiful kids. You want to be there for them. You want to bond with them. And then you have, podcast after podcast. Where do you go to squeeze in the games portion of things? And I think as we find ourselves getting more responsibilities, maybe, work changes, maybe we got that promotion, things get in flux really rather easily. So life gets harder to navigate, and sometimes you gotta release some of the baggage so you can navigate a little swifter. And sometimes that means even some of your creative endeavors and have to take a seat back. And Sean did something that I feel like I could never do, which is take that long hiatus. I have too much anxiety to let this thing go, so I'm unable to. Sean was incredibly brave by saying, "Hey, listen, I have this amazing team. They're gonna see, through that everything's gonna be okay while I'm gone." And being really upfront and being, "Listen, this may be a goodbye, but this probably won't be a goodbye." So when I heard that news, I kind of had to talk to Kyle in a way of just like, "Listen, I know I was here a while ago. I've been kind of open to people. I accidentally let it like spilt the beans, I believe, when I was talking to Miles St-Pierre before we started the show. We were talking about toxicity in the gaming and how it's just been ever increasing over the past few months." And I was open by saying, there was a huge gap towards the end of August to the end of December where I was super burnt out, and I was thinking about just quitting. I was like, what is the point of this goddamn thing at the end of the day?" And it's awful when you get into those head spaces, but luckily for me, the creative outlet is that release, same as it's my stressor sometimes. But seeing people's reactions to the trophy room awards was the reason why I stayed. I was like, "Oh, this is it." What I found was I was getting in a rut because I had this awesome thing, right? The trophy room, but I wasn't testing or flexing any muscles. It just became second nature of how we make this podcast, and I needed to take some risks with it. So seeing the Game of the Year show just gave me the serotonin needed to go through the month of February, which was incredibly rough. And seeing the quote unquote like professional lens become so toxic as well when we were kind of trying to have conversations, around games like Hogwarts, the controversies around them, and how do you navigate that? And just simply talking about how to navigate it, you were like put into two camps, and it was really a lot. I got a lot of really awful DMs, but the things that got me through it was seeing, the success that, having Jane Perry on the show, having the Moss devs, having the Demio dev, having, Danielle Bisotti on the show. Those things, I was like, these are things that I like to do, and I don't consider myself good at them yet. But the only way I keep doing it is by risking it for the biscuit and getting people like them on and flex that muscle more, right? And it was that moment where it was just like, this is what I want the trophy room to be. I think that the Danielle episode and Jane Perry one especially, because those were just like, "Hey, we have our new segment, then we have this cool game review segment, and then we have this cool interview, and it's all in about an 2 hour span." Like, there were big shows, but there were a lot there. And I'm like, that's what I want the trophy room to be in the future. So it just gave me more fuel to go, that's what I want here, is to keep making new creative risks. And that's what I found was the thing that broke me out of my rut. And so sometimes you just got to figure out what breaks the rut. Because to me, if I didn't have those things, I'd probably be doing the same as Sean, because the conversation online has become way too volatile, and way too unstable. And so it is important to give ourselves breaks when needed, because we are just people at the end of the day. Just like that mean comment that we read on the show. I think it's going to be the last time I do that, because trolls will get the wrong impression. But it's important to showcase people like that and go, "Look at this. Doesn't this suck? Doesn't this person suck? Let's be better. Let's be nicer to folks. You don't know what people are going through behind the screen." And really taking that energy and trying to do something more positive with it. You know, go out there, and I've been preaching it, go out there, just tell a creator, tell a person how much they matter and mean to you. Because you never know what people are going on behind the screen. And I think we forget that a lot. And I think being chronically online, many of us, especially in the gaming field, have kind of forgotten about that. So, you know, to me, I hope we get better as a general community at not just communicating our wants, needs, desires, all that jazz, but also communicating when we need to take a 5-minute break, right? Because, yeah, you can't do the same thing week in, week out. The other thing, too, and I think this is a creator, a creator tip. I was having a good talk with a friend of me, Luke Lohr, on the show of how we gauge what is the metric that you gauge success. And I like what Luke said. I'm going to paraphrase it and probably maybe even make it better because it's Luke Lohr we're talking about here. We were talking about how do we gauge success for our shows. And mine was very simple. Mine was like growth. I want to know that week in, week out, there's more people coming onto the show than leaving the show. And if I can make that metric go up and up and up, then I know that this thing is growing. Seeing the Discord, knowing that I don't have to be in there for you guys to have awesome conversations, that's the metric, growing the family. I forget what his metric is. I think it was like a mother joke afterwards. You know, that's how he is. He's very immature, you know? That being said, but like, you know, the one piece of advice that he left me with, and I really dug it, was, okay, metrics are great, but you need to make sure that it's a metric that you can control. And sometimes when we gauge, I made an awesome video, for example, right? And it took me 6 or 8 hours to create, but I only got 37 views. It's like, well, you're gauging a metric that you don't have control of. So maybe instead you take a look at that video and go, okay, am I getting better at editing? Because that's something I can control. Am I getting better at script writing? Because that is something I can control. Am I getting better at public speaking? Because that is something I can control. And when you focus on metrics like that, you know, metrics that you can have ownership and control over, that's where you're going to find the most success. So even the way I gauge success may not be the best for my mental state, but so far so good, because we've grown each and every episode, each and every month, each and every year here, we grow by fantastic numbers. So like, to me, growth helps me because I know what we're doing. We're on the right track of doing, you know, building this big, beautiful family that we call home here. To me, it's really important what metrics we use and what tools we use at our disposal to help gauge ourselves and how we're growing, I guess, more of a cognizant, you know, thing of how we're growing personally than just what we're putting out there content wise. I think that's super gosh dang important. And when it comes to being a creator online, you know, the one thing that I've learned the past few weeks is, you know what? Sometimes it's better not to say anything. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes you don't need to be in the conversation. Sometimes you don't have to vent online because people are going to misconstrue it and they're going to twist your words, or they're going to read it in a different way that you intended. I did that with both like the Final Fantasy tweet and the Hogwarts Legacy stuff. And I got a bit of backlash on both. And I think the most important thing I learned there was, the Final Fantasy thing, I misinterpreted, and it was a learning lesson. And just putting it out there, I understand what y'all guys were talking about. I understand. I'll fall back. You know, I feel like sometimes when we tweet things or we say things on the internet, we're always saying it in such a way where it's just like, and this is my position and I'm never moving from here. It's really important to showcase that there is growth in terms of, oh, okay, I said this, y'all have proven me wrong. I'm taking this as a learning lesson. And it's also important when we have the bigger conversations, that sometimes 280 characters or whatever the Twitter character limit is it enough for y'all to have that conversation? You know, me comments I get every month. I wouldn't say every day. I get them every month. It's like the obvious thing. It's like I'm dumb, stupid, and ugly. I'm like, or dumb, fat, and ugly. It's like, I get it. Fine. I am, I guess. But, you know, those are easy to ignore. It hurts when it's people you know and people that misconstrued your words to make you sound like or make like you stand for something you don't. So, you know, there was a Hogwarts Legacy conversation that I thought went well on my end, where I was just like, okay, so we saw each other's sides. I get it. And then, you know, the friendship kind of deteriorated really fast. And it really sucked because I wanted to put them on the yearly thing that we've done now, the Bobby Polo's Awards, because of the great work that they do. And I felt like in that moment, I was like, well, you kind of fucked this up for me. Well, you kind of ruined this moment. I thought we could see each other's sides. I didn't think that this was as polarizing as I thought it was. That I thought you knew me, right? And I think it goes with parasocial relationships we have online, where we think we know people better than we do, right? And that moment really hurt because that was someone I knew, someone I respected, someone I admired. And, you know, it got me thinking a lot about Bobby, because, you know, Bobby and I disagreed on a lot of things, more than we agreed on stuff. But Bobby was one of my close pals here, because no matter what conversation we had, no matter at what level we disagreed, we were still friends. We may be annoyed at each other in the moment. We maybe still thought the other person was dumb for thinking that thing, but we never came out going, I hate you and our friendship is over. I remember the silly Labo argument that we had, that we both were trolling each other so hard that I think it's the closest thing we ever got to actually being upset at each other. But like, we still walked away of that going, well, you're dumb. Well, you're a dumb. All right. Love you. You know, like, we're still able to look past the silly things. Cause at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know, I hate to say it's just video games, but it is, it's just video games. And we're just here to have fun. Right. And so that moment I was like, well, all right, you know what? I'm going to kind of scrap the Bobby Paul's Awards. Cause now anybody that I would promote that isn't them just kind of feels like I'm promoting a vacant space at the moment. You know what I mean? So we're going to do something next year for Bobby and his awards. We're going to put it in the Trophy Room Awards next year. And I think I'm thinking of cool ways of how to showcase people, which is another thing that I like to do. You know, we did the Trophy Room Awards, and immediately afterwards, I understood everything I did right and understood everything I did wrong and the ways to fix things. So like, next year's show won't be like 4 hours long and won't have as many categories, but we're going to have categories that matter and different guests on as well. And hopefully do things differently in some categories that perhaps, could be really, really huge, which goes into the next tangent that I would like to say. Finding out, again, another creator tip, I guess. This is a benefit of having ADHD. I guess you're able to find categories of like, oh, here's the next thing we could talk about, like, really fast, you know? We're having a talk about, I saw a conversation about, you know, someone wanting to do a new podcast because they were really, you know, fed up with the conversation that they were having in one particular ecosystem. I'm not going to say which one, Xbox. I'm not going to say it. But they were tired of it. And, you know, I guess this person was getting trolled by the quote-unquote community because they had a different opinion, perhaps, on like the ABK deal. And maybe if you're, maybe he was against it, and I don't know like the full details. Maybe he was against the deal, and he's an Xbox guy, and Xbox fans are like, how could you not like this? This is the best. This is great. And he was just finding that the conversation he didn't want to have anymore. And the box that he once loved, he didn't have the same admiration for that he does now with PlayStation. He's like, maybe I'll just do a PlayStation podcast. And someone going, dude, there's too many PlayStation podcasts. It's too saturated. And that's where I came in going, I think you're kind of half right and half wrong. You know, when we're creating shows or when we're creating content, we often look at other things as inspiration as to what we do. So like the beginning of the Trophy Room, it was, well, I loved PlayStation, I Love You, XOXO, back in the day when it was Colin and Greg. I miss those days still. It was my favorite podcast ever. I never missed an episode. There was times I listened to those episodes twice over. And I kind of, I wanted to make a show that was in the same vein of. And it very much was in the first, like, I think, year, very much like a carbon copy. And it's fine to do that. I see even sometimes there are creators out there that like take our ideas for like titles and stuff, even sometimes down to SEO, and I'm like, you know what, it is what it is. You guys go do the thing. I'm no longer bothered by it. Go do the thing. I'm flattered. But like, you know, I made a show that I wanted to watch because it didn't exist anymore. And I think when we take a look at the current climate of how we create content, especially YouTube content, it's all follow the leader. It's all, hey, you know, if you've been on one YouTube podcast, I'll throw a little shade. You've been on one YouTube podcast, you kind of probably been on all of them, right? It's like, here's a podcast with six panel members talking about God knows what, who have similar opinions, who's everybody is agreeing on something. And when they don't disagree, or when they do disagree on something, the conversation's so surface level. Well, it's always almost always surface level because they're always tending to agree, or they're never even attempting to play devil's advocate. And to me, that gets super boring. You know, Kyle and I agree on a lot of stuff, but I always try to put out a devil's advocate approach, or at least come in with a different perspective on it. And so when I saw that person's frustration and I saw that person's comment of like, dude, there's too many PlayStation podcasts. It's already saturated. I'm like, no, the PlayStation podcasts are stagnant on a type of podcast, right? Again, like a YouTube podcast are all super saturated. Why? Because they're this same goddamn podcast. Again, six panel members talking about something for like 3 to 4 hours. It's a lot. Again, no shade to them, to the ones that are successful with it. But like, it's a lot. So maybe just do something different. Maybe go, okay, so what are they doing? And how can I find success by maybe doing something similar or doing something a little bit different? And I think what we found with the Trophy Room in the past few weeks is, oh, you know, we're seeing some PlayStation shows, like a great example, I think like Kind of Funny got like Neil Druckmann on the show, right? Or they're talking about PSVR 2, actually a better one. And we're like, okay, so we can't talk about PSVR 2 because we don't have it. So let's bring the devs on to talk about it. So finding different angles to talk about the same thing that, you know, your quote unquote competitors are doing, you know, friends with most of those folks, you know, it's like, okay, that's what we can do different. Yeah, I think what Kyle and I have is something different. I see a lot of shows going, now we need three hosts. And I'm like, well, maybe we don't. Maybe it's just good with Kyle and I, because that seems like a true conversation rather than us taking turns of when to speak. You know, it's by looking at what people are doing and going, you know what? There's enough of this here. I'm going to do something different. And I think that's what the Trophy Room offers that other podcasts don't. I think when I look at the Trophy Room and all the PlayStation podcasts out there, I don't think anyone does it like us. And for the successful PlayStation shows as well, there's no one that does it like them. So it's all about finding your niche within niches. And it's not about just following what's popular. I see a lot of people, you know, I've seen creators talk trash about, you know, PlayStation 1 minute and go, I'm going to make a PlayStation podcast now because they like the ecosystem now. And I always think, well, there might be a day you don't like PlayStation as much as you do, and what happens after that, right? Like, so it really is making a show you want to listen to, making a product that you don't think exists here or is it on the level that you can do, and then go ahead and do that thing. Trial, error, finding out, again, going back to growth, what you do right, what you do wrong, and how you can get better to make the product that you're making better. And that takes a lot of time, and people learn it faster than others. People are better and worse at certain things than others. And it's just finding the niche, finding your voice, finding what you're passionate about, and putting it out there for everyone. It's really difficult to go out there and make content. I'm constantly thinking, what can we do better on the trophy room? What are things that we can implement on the trophy room? What are things that we see our friends do that maybe we can do, but how do we do it differently? You know, so Kyle and I were talking about, I don't know if we put this on a post show or not, but I'll say it here right now. So we're thinking about, you know, making the trophy room live. Actually, I posed the question on Twitter as well. And everybody said, yes, oh yeah, do it. Like, I might not be able to make it, but go ahead, do the damn thing. And I'm like, okay, so fans genuinely want this to happen. But now my question is, how do I make it different? how do I make the trophy room live and it not take away from anything, but instead be additive to the experience? You know, one of the goals with the trophy room, if we were to do it live, the main goal is audio listeners, nothing can change for them. So how do we make this product, how do we make this show great and interactive for people live in the chat, and at the same exact time, not change the formula for the audio listeners, because that is literally like 90% of our audience is Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But now that we want to grow out to YouTube, how do we make a live show that is fun and interactive while it not changing for the listeners? And that's what's been, I think, on my mind after the Danielle interview is, okay, so how do we do this live? How do we make a show live for folks? And is there really something in it for us to do? So that means what I've been doing the past few weeks is I've been watching podcast after podcast, live podcasts, and literally just writing notes of just like, what are they doing good? What is something that I liked from this? What are the things I didn't like from it? Found out I have a lot of things I don't like from it. But like, what are they doing that is, you know, and I already got an idea that popped in my head. What are they doing that could work for us? So, you know, to me, those are the things that I kind of think about. It's okay, I want to do this thing, but I hope I illustrated. I'm already thinking, how do I do it different? Because to me, I hate when I'm listening to a show on an audio podcast and someone goes, oh, and a question from the chat. And I don't know why it bothers me so much, but it does. Because I think maybe that would break my rhythm. And maybe that would help. Like, it would derail the train in my brain for that. I also know that like streaming things is often a harder technical difficulties, and views are deceitful on streams. And I don't know still if it's better for the content that you're putting out in terms of like, will people actually look at this? So there's a whole lot of stuff that I'm looking at right now in terms of, okay, people want live shows, but is it viable? And if it is viable, how do we make it different while not changing the basic show for everyone else? You know, so like people that I've been watching recently would be like Kind of Funny Games Daily, I think does a fine job doing it. Probably the best actually doing live shows, not just because of the crazy transitions, and also understanding that people have bigger production values than you. I feel like a lot of us forget that when we're looking at like YouTubers, like we often forget like a YouTuber with like 100K views and has all these awesome editing things aren't doing it alone. They have literally a team of folks, of contract workers that they have editing stuff for them. So, like, great example, Philip DeFranco has an army of folks editing his daily videos. That's not him doing it. And sometimes that's not even the script that he wrote. It's people finding things for him and him putting it out there. So, again, also understand that. But looking at, you know, people like Kinda Funny going, okay, so this is how they do it. Looking at people like Giant Bomb, like Jeff Grubb, and seeing how they run their podcast and see how that works out for them. That's something that I'm writing down. And then, you know, seeing other YouTube shows, I'm like, okay, like the BitCast is another great example of like how they communicate with their audience and how does that change in the audio podcast. So, like, you know, looking at people that I admire going, what are they doing? How can we do something similar? But how do we make it the Trophy Room? Very important stuff. That was a really good side tangent. I could theoretically end it there because it's been 30 minutes, right? It's been a good half an hour. You got to pick my brain about, hey, sometimes, you know what? It's better to leave things unsaid. Sometimes it's better to take on toxicity with positivity. Sometimes it's good to take breaks and let people know that you're at your limit and let people know that you need 5 minutes to kind of let, you know, let out a yell. How do you guys let off steam? Do you guys yell into a pillow? I tend to, here's actually a really good thing. I think Sean Capri kind of taught me this, of, hey, have the bad mood for 5 minutes. Have the bad mood for 15 minutes. Do whatever you need to do to let that steam out for 15 minutes, right? Like, live in it. Rent out the emotion, but don't own it. Don't buy property in it. Don't sulk in it. You got shit to do, right? So, you know, I got really bad news last week because I was going to owe close to $3,000 in taxes because of all the contract work that I did last year. And that's where I found out, oh, I never want to do contract work again. So if ever there's a company that's like temp to hire, it's like, okay, what does temp mean? Because if this is a contract job, I'm out. Because that shit sucks for taxes, I learned. So, you know, I was really bummed out because I'm like, that pushes me paying off some student loans to July. That really sucks. And I lived in that anger for 15 minutes. And then I was like, okay, cool. So if I just am angry for the rest of the day, nothing changes. So what I can do to change it is do something about it. So what did the guy tell me to do? Look at more things, give him more receipts so he can lower that payment down. And then just live with the fact of, yeah, I made a mistake. Again, now I know not to do that thing. Some mistakes are more expensive than others. And then just work to get that out of the way. So I kind of, when things hit me, sometimes they stick to me, but most of the time I, you know, they roll off the shoulder. I'm good because I can't live in that space. I allow myself to feel that way, but I don't allow it to consume me. I feel like some people are better than that than others. I feel like that's something I'm pretty good at, but long-term things like long-term student loan debt, like the public loans, ooh wee, does that stress me out all the gosh dang time? It really does. It stresses me out so freaking much. But, you know, the other things that, like, I can control, like, again, like mean comments, it's like, well, I can't control how they talk to me, but I can control how I talk to them. Like, those things I'm pretty good with, because to me, again, I got death threats over Nintendo Labo stuff. So, like, the people that are really upset at me can't handle. So don't even worry about it. There was one last thing I kind of wanted to talk about in this weird stream of consciousness episode that was the after show. Gosh dang it. What was it? Oh, dang. I know a lot of us want to keep doing the show stuff with, you know, The Last of Us being pretty damn popular on the Patreon end of things. And I'm gonna think about what we could do there. Hopefully in the next week or two, I got a solution for y'all. Okay, gang. Hi there. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? So I was really sad that Sean Capri is taking his break, to be honest. That really bummed me out. But again, I can choose to live in it, or I can choose to just rent out a property and see what I can do about it. And the one thing that I was really bummed out by was, I'm gonna really miss the Saturday night streams that Sean would do. And I remember like there are some times that I was more excited than him to stream. I was like, come on, let's go, let's do it, let's have fun. So what I am thinking is once Kyle is back from his trip from PAX, we could have a game night where we're playing Demio. Maybe we're streaming in just the Discord, maybe we're streaming it out on Twitch, but we're just coming together as a community, whether it's a few folks, five, whatever the number is, but we're just having fun playing games together. I think this weekend coming, it's Saturday. I don't know if I have. I think we'll be playing a little bit of Fortnite. Ever heard of it? I never have. I know Green Gorilla's been wanting to. Oh God, team up with me. Oh, the oatmeal's coming back with a vengeance, y'all. Has been wanting to play a few rounds with me. Yeah, I'm dying. Anyway, and so maybe that's a good excuse to jump back in because, oh my God, the last few weeks have been kind of bonkers, which goes into my last tangent. So I've been working at this one job for almost a year now. I'll continue to work with them. The clients are just phenomenal human beings and have given me so much hope and serotonin by just being so damn wonderful for the most part. That I couldn't leave them, right? But back in November, I really did meet my wits because it is a very stressful gig, very stressful. Sometimes I've learned there's not a perfect solution. There's only imperfect solutions, rather. Like there, it's just, man, it's like a lose-lose scenario that sometimes you're handed that you have to do your best with. And so I decided to seek other opportunities, but I was still working for the company that I was currently at. Maybe that's what the person that did the reviews that thought. Because I'm like, what, can't hold a job. What do you mean? Like, Kyle got laid off because of the recession. I'm still working. What the fuck is? Get fucked. Okay, well maybe this is it. Because last year I did so much contract work and it burnt me out from video games. Right, because it seemed like on to the next project, on to the next project, and all the projects just seemed so robotic. Like not even the people there were really passionate or loved what they were doing. And I saw firsthand people take advantage of hard workers. Like you should not be working till 5 a.m. I'm sorry, you shouldn't. And wake up the next day. Come on, and get paid below 40 grand? Absolutely not. So to me, I saw that. I was like, now I don't want to be here anymore. So I went to again this company that helps autistic individuals break into, the community, destigmatize autism, all that great stuff. And it was also a lot of hard work. And again, the worst slash best job I've ever had. Seriously, it's high highs and it's low lows. There were so many times where I had to literally save people from people. Like it was just it was a lot. It's high octane, very high stress. So when I found, I was like, okay, this isn't the career I'm gonna see myself in for the next 5 years. I was just like, okay, I need to go and find something that is gonna use my degree and I'm gonna feel good doing. So I found a new gig and it already seems wonderful. But as we often learn with when you're first out of job, everything's wonderful. But people seem really nice. The job itself, everybody tells me, even just outside, like our good friend Sunny, that I game with on the reg. He's just like, dude, I actually looked into do the job that you're going for because of how much I love doing it. So I'm gonna be working at the Boy Scouts of America salute. And I pretty much help under what do they call it? Undervalued communities, I believe. Again, this could be the daziness talking. So I help, I help kids that wouldn't have opportunities outside of possibly troubled homes to find those opportunities. And that's super damn fulfilling if I ever heard it. And so being able to help kids in need, That's awesome. That's the serotonin I need. And I'll be starting that this Monday. And I'm just at the point where I'm excited to start. Like, I have all this free time on my hands and I'm tired of, like, I could be playing video games, but I'm kind of tired of playing video games. I could be watching TV, but I could be just getting ready for this job. Like, it's just like, I'd rather just be there now and starting to earn that paycheck and start learning the skills of the trade and all that. But that being said, that's what I'm going to be doing. And I'm really excited about it because it is something that's going to be very fulfilling. And, you know, the brass tacks of it is going to pay pretty darn well as well. So I'm looking at those things going, okay, this gets me excited because this now finally seems like the start. Because I'll be real with you guys, you know, the beginning of this year, I was kind of depressed because I fought so hard for the dream job, and the dream job actually ended up being the most toxic workplace I've ever been a part of, and you know, being gaslit constantly. So, like, to me, that's where it really affected me as a person, because I was just like, I fought so hard for this, and I found out I don't want any of this. So, you know, I feel like I'm now falling into what I've needed and wanted, and I'm just excited to start. And I hope that y'all are digging the journey that we're taking on. I hope that y'all really have enjoyed the past few weeks of content, because I think it's honestly, if I could be real with y'all, I think it's some of the best content we've ever made. I think the show itself has come into its own in such a cool, unique way. And I think we do stand side by side of some of the most renowned podcasts. And I do think many of the times we do it the best. And maybe it's me getting high on my own supply, but there is not a community like ours on the internet. You know, to me, when we use the word the community in the gaming community as a negative thing, I'm like, you guys are talking about your communities. Y'all ain't talking about my community, because we genuinely are some of the best folks out there. Like, we fucking rule, you guys. Everybody here, all you patrons, all you people in the Discord, y'all make my whole day. And, you know, I said it a little bit at the end of the show, and I'll say it at the little end here. You get mean comments. That's the last tip for the creator tip. You're going to run into a mean comment every now and again. And sometimes you're going to be like me and be on a roll with it. But it's the comments that you get. You know, it's the comments that you get of, man, y'all got me through this. You guys got me through that. There was one comment that I found so powerful, because it's like, oh, along the lines of like, oh, we get you through your depression. That's nuts. You know, we're the thing you're looking the most excited for, like the most anticipated, like, shit. So when I say, like, there are people that need us, that's important to me, because I now know that this podcast means more to people than it means to me, if that makes any sense. Like, some people legitimately need this show more than I need this show. And so I have to deliver for them. But again, understand that the I is the, let's take back the I and say we, Kyle and I, need to do this every week. Even like, as much as I love Logan, I miss Kyle. Like, he's just such an integral part of the show to me. And now knowing that I'm not going to have him for another week, because he's going to be at PAX East and the 6-1 Indie Mini Showcase that is on March 22nd at noon EST time, the only time that matters. And y'all should watch it, and we will. And I'm going to be promoting the shit out of it. I'm so proud of them. So proud of them. I think Mike hates me, but the rest, I understand. I'm a lot. I still love him, you know? It's just, I'm so proud of what they've done. But knowing, you know, even knowing how much we matter to folks, it's always important for us to take those breaks to go, okay. So though I know this is important to people, Kyle at least has to be here. Or if Kyle's not here, I know I at least have to be here. You know, we need to make this show for folks because it matters. I feel so guilty taking that week off because I know this show matters to people way more than we even let on. So I think the very important thing, what I would like to do, I think even out of this conversation that I had with myself today, is to maybe in July, when things get a little slow, maybe we'll have what we'd kind of do in the Christmas season of, hey, what are our games of the year right now type of episodes, you know, so that we can actually, both of us, take a nice week off to kind of de-stress, to depressure everything, and be at our tip-top shape. You know, maybe go out to a beach, you know, go to LBI. Maybe, I know next year, and now I'm now starting to plan for Galaxy's Edge. You know, I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to Universal Studio. I'm going to Super Mario Land. You bet your bottom dollar I'm going to try to jump into one of those paintings and just cause a concussion. It's like, I thought it was paint. I thought this canvas would transport me to the Penguin Land where I could toss them off cliffs. What? You know, all that jazz. So, you know, allowing those breaks are important, but also the gravity of knowing that people need this. It's important. And so I never let those mean comments get to me, because the comments that stick out, the ones that impact me the most, those are the ones, man. You know, I'll say this right here, right now. I've turned down opportunities because they said that I would have to stop this podcast. And I said, well, I think people need my voice. You know, I think I don't hear enough of it out there. And to get on the high horse and to get all, as my uncle would say, woke about it, is like, I don't hear enough Hispanics or Latinos on podcasts. And if I'm the only voice out there, I know that there's going to be someone that's going to do it better, that hopefully I'm inspiring by doing this, because suddenly this is an option for them, right? That's important, but also important to understand that I'm not a, you know, sexy Latino twink. That's the only thing I remember from that pod. I'm going to be honest. Me saying that and Logan sounded smart, that's all I honestly know. That said, that has been the Trophy Room After Show. I've been your host, Joseph, a.k.a. Mr. Badbit. Make sure you send at Mr. K-Step all the love, the support, as he travels forward to PAX East. He's leaving me behind. I shall be the only overweight middle-aged guy on this podcast next week. So make sure you send Kyle all the love he needs to make that journey even more special. Again, at Mr. K-Sip on Twitter. Send Sean all your kind regards. Wish him luck on his journey as well. And any creator that you love and appreciate, show that love right back to him. Seriously, it's gonna mean so much to them. You don't know how much that matters, because of how much filth we get, that one comment, hoo-wee, is gonna mean the world. So, with all that said, that was a clap. Sometimes when I do the clap, it sounds like something else. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I always have to illustrate, that was a clap. I don't know. With all that out of the way, everybody, keep your wits about you, keep hunting, and keep playing PlayStation Ball.